जय राधा माधव बिहारी जय राधा माधव बिहारी गोपी जाना वाला भरधारी गोपी जाना वाला भरधारी सोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन सोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव जब बिहारी जय राधा माधव जब बिहारी गोपी जाना वाला भरधारी सोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बनचारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Hare Ba, Hare Ba, Hare Ba, Hare Ba. Hare Ba, Hare Ba, Hare Ba, Hare Ba. Hare Ba, Hare Ba. Hare Ba, Hare Ba. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Prabhujagacharya Satarashada Shri Srimad His Divine Geshala Bechana Bhaktivinanda Swami Shala Prabhupada Maharaj Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Prabhujagacharya Satarashada Shri Srimad His Divine Geshala Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki. Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki. Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadesh Ki. Shri Shri Jagannath Subhadra Balaram Ki. ISKCON Los Angeles Yatra Ki. Transcendental Book Distribution Ki. All glories to these humble devotees. All glories to these humble devotees. All glories to these humble devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 20 एम आई राइट टेक्स्ट 20 कर्म प्रवर्तम च निवृतम अपि रथम वेदे विवेच्यो भायां लिंगम आश्रितम विरोधी ता योगापदायका कर्तारी द्वायं तथा ब्राह्मणी कर्म रचति क्लास गोज ऑन टिल 8:30 till 8:30 the class. Karma pravartam cha nirvritam api ritam. Vede vichayo bhaya lingam ashritam. Virodita dhyaga padayaka kartari. Dvayam tata brahmani karma narchati. Karma pravartam cha nirvritam apiritam. Vede vivichyo bhaya lingam ashritam. Virodita dhyaga padayaka kartari. Dvayam tata brahmani karma narchati.
Karma pravitam cha nivritam apyar apritam. Vede vivichyo vivichyo vaya lingam ashritam.
Mataji's. karma, activities, pravartam, attached to material enjoyment. Cha and nirvritam, maturely detached. Api, certainly. Ritam, true. Vede, in the Vedas. Vivichya, distinguished. Ubhaya lingam, symptoms of both. Ashritam, directed. Virodhi, contradictory. Tat, that. Yoga pada, ekakartari. Both activities in one person. Dvayam, two. Tatha, so. Brahmani, in one who is transcendently situated. Karma, activities. Narachati, are neglected. In the Vedas, there are directions for two kinds of activities. Activities for those who are attached to material enjoyment, and activities for those who are materially detached. In consideration of these two kinds of activities, the two kinds of people who have different symptoms. If one wants to see two kinds of activities in one person, that is contradictory. But both kinds of activities may be neglected by a person who is transcendently situated. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Vedic activities are so designed that the conditioned soul who has come to enjoy the material world may do so under direction, so that at the end he becomes detached from some material entanglement and is eligible to enter into the transcendental position. The four different social orders, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas, gradually train a person to come to the platform of transcendental life. The activities and dress of a grihastha, or a householder, are different from those of a sannyasi, one in the renounced order of life. It is impossible for one person to adopt both orders. A sannyasi cannot act like a householder, nor can a householder act like a sannyasi. But above these two kinds of persons, one who engages in material activities and one who has renounced material activities, There is the person who is transcendental to both. Lord Shiva is in the transcendental position because, as stated before, he is always absorbed in thoughts of Lord Vasudeva within himself. Therefore, neither the activities of the grihastha nor those of the sannyasi in a renounced order can be applicable for him. He is in the Paramahansa stage, the highest perfectional stage of life. The transcendental position of Lord Shiva is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. It is stated there that one who fully engages in the transcendental service of the Lord by performing activities without fruitive activities, one is elevated to the transcendental position. At that time, he has no obligation to follow the Vedic injunctions or the different rules and regulations of the Vedas. When one is above the direction of the Vedic ritualistic injunction, for attaining different allurements, and is fully absorbed in transcendental thought, which means thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service, one is in the position called Bodhi Yoga or Samadhi, ecstasy. For a person who has attained this stage, neither the Vedic activities for realizing material enjoyment nor that for renunciation are applicable. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Milita Nyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapita Mena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanmitam Tam Sajevam Sadvetam Savadhutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dhinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Dapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarbhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayabacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnanebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Karma Pravritam Cha Nivritam Piritam Vide Vivichyo Bhaya Lingam Ashritam Virodhi tat yoga padayaka kartari dvayam tatha brahmani karma narchati. So Sati is the speaker of this verse, and Sati is very offended by the attitude of her father towards whom? Towards Lord Shiva. Shiva means all auspicious. And Lord Shiva is not to be viewed to be an ordinary personality. Vaishnava yatha sambhu. It is also described that Lord Shiva is the best of the Vaishnavas. And Lord Shiva, as the purport here says and has stated elsewhere, is always absorbed in thoughts of Lord Shri Krishna. The Prabhupada says that clearly. Shiva, it means all auspicious. And Lord Shiva has many names, and one of them is Ashutosh, one who is very easily pleased and very easily displeased. So Lord Shiva's position is very exalted, and the fact that Lord Shiva is absorbed in always meditating on the Lord is also nicely revealed in the instructions he gave to the Prachetas that you read about in the fourth canto. The Prachetas were the sons of King Prachinabari, and they had kind of performed austerities for 10,000 years. So obviously, this pastime took place in Satya Yoga. And Lord Shiva was so pleased by their mood of austerity that he gave them a song that glorified whom? Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Shiva's position is actually very, very exalted. And unfortunately, Daksha committed a great offense by blaspheming Lord Shiva. And actually, in the verses that we've read before, you've seen how Daksha's attitude towards Lord Shiva was influenced by envy. And because of that, beyond this envious attitude, Daksha has committed actually a great offense to Lord Shiva. So Sati was unhappy that Shiva wasn't invited again to this second sacrifice that was being done by Daksha. And Sati is speaking these verses to point out the exalted position of Lord Shiva. So envy is one of the impediments on spiritual path. Lord Shiva, on his side, exhibited tolerance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised that we cultivate the quality of tolerance. In the scriptures, you often read about the transcendental qualities of a transcendentalist. And one of the first qualities that gets mentioned is tolerance. Titikshava karunikaha surda sarva dainam. Ajita satrava santa sadva sadhu bhushana. So Lord Kapila, in describing the qualities of a saintly personality, describes titikshava, tolerance, as one of them. And we see that Lord Shiva, even though he was insulted by Daksha, if he wanted, he could have easily counteracted the curse also. But he was very tolerant. He tolerated all this. So this is one of the qualities of Lord Shiva, who is also described in the Bhagavatam as one of the Mahajans or spiritual authorities. Mahajan today means he has become a caste in India. But Mahajan means a spiritual authority. Sayambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Komara, Kapila, Manu, Palado, Janago, Bhismo, Balirvai, Yasakirvai. Lord Yamraj explained to the Yamadutas in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam that there are 12 prominent authorities or sources of spiritual knowledge. And one of them is Sayambhu, Narada, Sambhu. So Sambhu refers to Lord Shiva. So, Lord Shiva's position actually is very exalted. And Daksha exhibited envy towards Lord Shiva. As it is said, the different anarthas, and envy is one of the anarthas. Kam, krodh, lo, mo, mad, matsarya. These are described as the anarthas or the impediments for the path of spiritual advancement. Kama, that is lust. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was asked, how is one compelled into sinful acts even unwillingly? And the Lord said, Kama is a krodha is a raja gun samudbhava. So, lust is one of the impediments. Then, krodha, that's anger. Then lobha, greed. Our greed is so intense that can never be satisfied. In the seventh canto, Narada Muni explains to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he gives a nice example. He says, an angry man can be satisfied when he has the opportunity to shout. A thirsty man can be satisfied when you give him water to drink. A hungry man can be satisfied when you give him food or prasad, if it's a devotee, prasad. But a greedy man, he says, can never be satisfied. So greed. Then moha, illusion, mada, madness, and matsarya, envy. So envy is one of the anarthas or obstacles on the path of spiritual advancement. In the Amanaya Sutra, four different categories of anarthas have been analyzed. So anartha means that which is unnecessary. In other words, anarthas are impediment on the path of spiritual advancement. And as explained in the scriptures, These anarthas can only be overcome by the power of devotional service. So in this Amnaya Sutra, four categories of anarthas are identified. The first category is Hirdaya Durbalya. Hirdaya Durbalya refers to the weakness of the heart. And there, this heading of Hirdaya Durbalya, there are specifically four categories of anarthas. One is attachment to objects not related to Krishna. That's one of the anarthas. Attachment to objects not related to Krishna. Then another is to cheat and find fault. This is very common in Kali Yuga, the cheating tendency and the tendency to find faults. And the third anartha in this category is the envious attitude, envy. Envy is also one of the anarthas under Hirdaya Durbalya. And the fourth one is the desire for recognition. I'm doing service, this desire for recognition is very, very strong in material life. So these are four categories of anarthas under the heading of Hirdaya Durbalya. One is attachment to objects not related to Krishna. Then the tendency to cheat and find faults, envy, and the desire for recognition. Then there are also another category of anarthas known as aparad or offenses. And these again have four categories under them. One is offenses towards the holy name. We read about the 10 offenses. We read about the importance of avoiding these offenses. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Bhau janma kare yadi shavna kirtana tabutana paya Krishna pade premadhana. That when we go on chanting the holy name birth after birth, but unless one understands the importance of avoiding the offenses, he will not be able to get love of God. So, in the second category of anarthas, known as aparad, one is offense towards the holy name. Then, another is offenses again towards the deity of the Lord. In the Nectar Devotion, you read about offenses that one should avoid in worshipping the deity. And even the so-called concept of impersonalism is actually an offense against the Lord. The impersonalist viewpoint, the Lord is impersonal, is actually a great insult to the Lord. So there are offense, anartha, and this is offenses towards form of the Lord. Then the third category of anartha in this heading is offenses towards other Vaishnavas, Vaishnava aparad. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining to Sanatana Goswami the process of devotional service, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very nicely describes how Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagavanoji Guru Krishna Kripa Pai Bhakti Lata Be. How the living entity, after going through so many cycles of birth and death, the samsara birth and death, receives the bhakti lata beet, the seed of devotional service. And the seed of devotional service grows. How does it grow? Through the watering process. And the watering process is compared to the process of hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting is what gives us the strength to advance on the devotional path, But then Lord Chaitanya explains that in order to ensure that we, our devotional creeper keeps growing, we should build, we should have a strong fencing around us. And that means keep ourselves in devotee association. Devotee association is highly recommended if we wish to take advantage of this process of devotional service. Especially here in Kali Yuga, devotee association is more important than ever. And therefore the scriptures say, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastakaya. All the scriptures emphasize the importance of spiritual association. So devotees look forward to spiritual association, just like you had this very nice Prabhupada festival and ISKCON holds festivals around the world. And devotees look forward to take part in these festivals. In Russia, they have a festival called the Dynamos Festival that's held on the Black Sea. And you get about, 5,000-6,000 devotees there for a 1 week period. Devotees look forward to associating with each other because this association gives us the strength and the determination to progress on the spiritual path. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that we keep ourselves surrounded by devotees. Sometimes devotees have a tendency to fall find other devotees and to avoid devotee association. This is harmful and detrimental for the long-term spiritual advancement. I remember in 1975 or 76, there was a devotee from Kenya, a Kenyan devotee, who came to Bombay and was fault-finding devotees in the temple. And Prabhupada was trying his best. He wanted to be completely independent and just be in isolation and chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada was telling him, no, if you can't stay in one temple, you can go to another temple with a brahmachari, you know, stay in devotee association. But he kept insisting. And ultimately, Prabhupada had no choice but to let him do what he wanted. So Prabhupada finally gave him a letter that he could go to Mayapur and construct a hut by for himself and stay there in chant and seclusion. So he went there, stayed there for a few days, but then he was gone. And no one ever saw him again. So spiritual association is very necessary. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one should build a strong fencing around him so the devotional creeper grows. And Lord Chaitanya also warned us that as the devotional creeper grows, sometimes the unwanted weeds may also grow alongside. Unwanted greed, unwanted weeds can take on various forms, like becoming very proud. I'm such a big devotee. I'm initiated. Desire for recognition, fame, etc. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises that the unwanted weeds should be plucked out. But these unwanted weeds can only be identified when you are in devotee association. If you're not in devotee association, then to identify the unwanted weeds is very difficult. It's almost impossible. Because we need the association of other Vaishnavas to help us identify where the unwanted weeds are. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised that we pluck out the unwanted weeds. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the importance of avoiding Vaishnava aparadha. Like one of the categories of offenses is offenses towards the holy name, offenses towards the form of the Lord, and offenses towards other Vaishnava. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described this as the mad elephant offense. Just like a mad elephant can destroy a beautiful garden, this Vaishnava Prad can destroy all the gains of devotional service. Therefore, on the spiritual path, one is advised to be very, very cautious. In the Bhagavatam, you read the story of Amrish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni. You read that how Durvasa Muni had this envious attitude towards Amrish Maharaj, just like over here we are reading about Daksha having an envious attitude towards Lord Shiva. So, Durvasa Muni, as soon as he got the opportunity, he wanted to harm Amrish Maharaj by producing a demon from his seeker. But Amrish Maharaj was totally fixed in his meditation. Sarve Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. That's the nature of a devotee. It's totally fixed in the meditation on the Lord. And as a result, the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord came to his rescue, and Durvasa had to flee. Wherever he fled, the Sudarshan Chakra was right behind him. Eventually, Durvasa managed to reach the Lord, where he apologized for his offenses. But the Lord said that my devotees are so dear to me that I reside in their heart and they reside in my heart. So the Lord pointed out the exalted position of a devotee. And then he had to go and apologize to Durvasa, to Amrish Maharaj, who very gladly forgave him. So this attitude of Vaishnava Prad one should avoid, and often this is influenced by envy. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read the story of Amoga, who was the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a staunch impersonalist. Actually, previously they were all residing in Navadvip, then they were driven away because Bengal had a Muslim king, so a lot of these prominent Sanskrit scholars moved on to Jagannath Puri. Actually, 500 years ago, Bengal was the richest province in the world, richest kingdom. And the intellectual capital of the world was actually Navadvip, where Lord Chaitanya appeared. Later on, by some manipulation, there was a Mohammedan king and a lot of these Sanskrit scholars left and relocated to Jagannath Puri, which had a devotee king, King Pratapudra. So Sarvabhauma was saved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a long story. And he had a daughter who was married to a devotee, to an individual called Amoga. This Amoga had a very envious attitude towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was always looking for opportunities to find fault in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's character. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would travel, he would get invited by different grihasthas to come and have prasad in their house. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife, she was such an expert cook. She definitely didn't need microwave cookers. She could cook 100 items in 1 hour. And she would cook very elaborate prasad for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he, being very renowned, would only take very, very little. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya knew that his son-in-law is a fault finder, very envious of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he would stand at the gate of the room with a stick to make sure that Amoga didn't have the opportunity to see what was being offered to the Lord. But one day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had to leave, guarding the door to help his wife in serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As a result, Amoga came in. He saw what was the various items that were being offered to the Lord. And he said, look at this sannyasi. He claims to be a renunciate, but he eats more opulently than a householder. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya chased him out of the house. Now the same Amoga got afflicted later by a disease, and he was on his deathbed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just checked with Gopinath Acharya, who was the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and who from the very beginning knew the exalted position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was checking with Gopinath Acharya, how is Amoga? And then when he learned that he was on his deathbed, he knew that his beloved devotee, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, would be very aggrieved if his son-in-law dies. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see him. And he kept his hand on his chest and said, he was lying on his bed. He said, as long as you have this envy in the heart, Krishna will not reside over there. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy, as soon as he placed his hand on his chest, Amoga got up from his bed, fell at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, apologized for his offenses, and became a great devotee. So, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became a great devotee. So, Vaishnava Prad, which is instigated often by envy, becomes a cause of a downfall on the spiritual path. Just like there's that story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the house of Srivaj Thakur, they would perform these ecstatic kirtans every day. And how that Brahmana, in order to embarrass Srivas, kept all the paraphernalia for worshipping Durga at his doorstep and in front of his door. And in the morning when he got up, he saw all this paraphernalia for worshipping Goddess Durga. And Shiva said, friends, I'm not a devotee of Krishna. I was just cheating all of you. Actually, I'm a devotee of Durga. But nobody believed it, and they cleaned the whole place up. But later on, this devotee got affected by a severe disease, and it was only Shiva's mercy and compassion. Even Lord Chaitanya refused to pardon him. But then when he came to Shiva's, on the advice of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he was pardoned. So there's so many stories in our scriptures to show that. And the reason why these stories are there, so we can gain some, we can benefit from this and avoid in future. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as the most merciful of all incarnations. And Lord Chaitanya had a little bit of anger towards his mother. Why? Because he wasn't happy that his mother was thinking that his mother had a little bit of anger against Advaita Acharya, because the elder son had left home, and then the younger son also left home and took sannyas. So his mother Sachi was thinking that maybe this is Advaita Acharya's influence. So Lord Chaitanya was freely distributing this love of God to everyone. So everyone, his associates, said, you're giving this love of God to everyone. Why aren't you also giving it to your mother? And Lord Chaitanya said, my mother, she has offended an exalted Vaishnava. But Advaita Acharya, when he heard about this, he refused to accept it. He said, how can Mother Sachi ever commit an offense? She's the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya was teaching us by example. And so, once when the Lord had revealed his universal form and his close associates were offering obeisances, Mother Sachi came from behind and took the dust from Advaita Acharya's feet and applied it on her forehead. And when Lord Chaitanya saw this, he was very happy. He was very happy. He said, now my mother is forgiven. So through these examples we can see how these offenses, especially Vaishnava Prat, should be avoided. So there are different categories of offenses that one can commit that are identified under the heading of Vanarthas. One is the offenses against the holy name, offenses against the form of the Lord, offenses against Vaishnavas. And then there's another category, and that is offenses of other living entities. The nature of a Vaishnava is that he doesn't want to harm anyone. You see, there's an example of Jad Bharat, who was requested to carry the palanquin of King Rahugana. But he was so cautious that he would not even keep his feet on the ground till he saw that at least for the next 3 feet there was no living entity. So there are different categories of anarthas. And by the power of devotional service, these anarthas can be avoided. Now, now Sati over here is saying, in the Vedas, there are two kinds of activities. The Veda means knowledge. And in the Vedas, there are two kinds of in the Vedas, there are directions for those who are too materially attached and materially detached. In other words, the Vedic system is society gets divided into four varnas and four ashramas. And this facility is there so that gradually one can move up and come to the point of eventually surrendering to the Lord. And there are different rules and regulations. But if the highest is, if we come to the process of completely surrendering to the Lord, which is known as the process of Daiva Varnashram. In the purport, Prabhupada talks about the Varnashram system, and he talks about Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. In the seventh canto, you read about Narada Muni's instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj, in which he describes the duties of a Brahmachari, the behavior of a Grihastha, the behavior of a Vanaprastha, and the behavior of a Sannyas. So Brahmachari, for example, he leaves the life of a celibate. His duty is to beg alms on behalf of the spiritual master. And he leads a simple life, and he associates with the opposite sex only for the purpose of preaching and not beyond that. Grihastha, one in the Vedic system, one is permitted to enter household life. He lives with a wife. But Grihastha is an ashram. Ashram means a situation where one is in and he progresses spiritually. So husband and wife, when they live together, according to Vedic guidelines, according to religious principles, then it is called Grihastha Ashram. And when they live independent of any Vedic religious principles, then what is it called? Grihamedi. So in the purport, Prabhupada talks about the four different social orders. Brahmachari, Grihastha. So Grihastha is an ashram where man, husband and wife combine together for the purpose of self-realization. Then there is Vanaprastha, where one, at a certain age, one decides to increase his spiritual surrender to the Lord, where the husband and wife travel the places of pilgrimage, etc. But the real point is to increase, to develop the system of detachment, and eventually, then there is a sannyas ashram, in which the sannyasi, he travels from one place to another, and preaching the message of God. The sannyasi's behavior should be exemplary. In the scripture, the example is cited in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of a black spot on a white sheet. It can be easily identified. So a sannyasi has to be very exemplary in his behavior. Actually, if you read our scriptures, we see, especially in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's very clearly stated that by one's behavior, a spiritual personality must be able to convey the meaning of religious principles. In other words, our behavior should be very exemplary. Haridas Thakur was absorbed in chanting the holy name. He never went inside the Jagannath Puri temple either because of the birth that he had taken. But nevertheless, being so exalted, he had such great mercy. The Lord Chaitanya would come to him. Sanatana Goswami, the great sages would come to him every day. So Sanatana Goswami said in addressing Haridas Thakur, he said, some preach but do not practice. And some practice and do not preach. But you are simultaneously doing both, preaching and practicing. So Prabhupada in the purport states that the devotees of the Krishna conscious movement should simultaneously do both. They should practice and preach. And it's so nice to see that here in the Los Angeles community, you have a strong preaching spirit. It's very encouraging to hear every morning 10, 15 names of devotees who go out and do book distribution. The various forms of preaching that we can take part in. Actually, all our activities are designed to expand the preaching movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even the deity worship we do, if the deity worship is very high standard, then people get attracted by the beauty of the deities. And they get this in turn leads to attraction towards the process of devotional service. So the various ways how devotees preach. But the highest form of preaching is giving people this transcendental knowledge that is there in Prabhupada's books. When we give people this transcendental knowledge that is there in Prabhupada's books, these books wake people up to the spiritual reality. I mean, Prabhupada, when he came to the West, he encouraged us to take part in book distribution. And many times devotees couldn't understand, you know, why was Prabhupada really encouraging this book distribution. But the real reason was these books have the capacity to wake us up to the spiritual reality. We get association through the person Bhagavad and the book Bhagavad. And we have seen all over the world how these books have changed the lives of unlimited people all over the world. And the best form of preaching is giving people this transcendental knowledge that is there in Prabhupada's books. Therefore, Prabhupada encouraged book distribution, and he himself set the example of preaching through the medium of book distribution. Like there's a story that even before Prabhupada came to the West, when he was in India trying to launch the Krishna conscious movement, Prabhupada was staying in Vrindavan, coming to Delhi, buying paper, getting his books printed, and then arranging to distribute his books. It was a one-man army doing everything. Writing, buying the paper, supervising the printing, the binding, then going out, distributing, and again putting the money together, collecting the money, going out, asking donations. So once while Prabhupada was distributing his books, it was so hot that he had a sunstroke and he fainted. But as soon as he came back to consciousness, he went on to distribute his books again. We saw that even his last days on the planet, last few weeks and months on the planet, when he wasn't physically so well, still he would go on preaching. Even the circumstances under which Prabhupada dictated the purpose of the 10th canto, he was maturely so sick. But he had this great desire to leave behind this transcendental literature that could save humanity. And this literature is meant to guide humanity for the next 10,000 years. So we have to have faith that if we study these books and distribute these books, it will help save us, help save others. Prabhupada said that when you read these books, Krishna is very pleased. Why? Krishna sees, here is someone trying to understand me. So let me give him the understanding by which he can come to me. Just like in the Damodar pastime of the Lord, you see that Mother Yasoda was trying to tie Krishna down. She took on 2, 3, 4, 5 ropes, and all the ropes still were unable to hold him down, isn't it? Then Krishna saw that my mother is trying so hard to try and tie me down, that he agreed to get tied down. So Prabhupada said, similarly, when we read Krishna's books, Krishna sees, here is somebody trying to understand me, so let me give him the understanding so that he can understand me. And similarly, when we endeavor to preach, especially to the medium of book distribution, Krishna sees, here is someone trying to carry out my orders. After all, isn't it Krishna who said in the 18th chapter, Yaidam Paramam Guyam, of all types of devotees, who is dear most to me? Who? What's that verse? Then what's the translation? One who preaches my glories is actually more dear to me, and never will there be one more dear. So when we endeavor to distribute Prabhupada's books, Krishna is very pleased. He's very obliged. And he reciprocates. Ye yathamam prapadayante. He reciprocates with our effort. And how does he reciprocate? By giving us the intelligence to do that service successfully. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, those who worship me with devotion, I preserve what they have and I make up what they lack. So we may have so many shortcomings, but I believe we sincerely endeavor to carry out the desires of the predecessor acharyas. Ultimately, everything flows from Krishna. Krishna is the original guru of everyone. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, as we said, the dearmost devotee is one who preaches my glories. Lord Chaitanya, the most merciful incarnation of the Lord, manifested the same spirit, isn't it? Lord Chaitanya, what did he say? Jare dakho, tahe kaho, Krishna upadesh. Wherever you see, you instruct him. Then in the same line, our acharyas, they had the same vision. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, the great acharya, he started this. Actually, Thakur Bhaktivinoda was the first great book distributor. He distributed his book on the life of Lord Chaitanya to institutions around the world. So in that mood, the acharyas have emphasized preaching. And we can see how these books have changed the lives of so many people. There's a story. There was a young girl, about 20-year-old girl in one of the Canadian cities. So I just asked her about 2 years ago, how did she come to Krishna consciousness? So she told me that she had gone to a second-hand bookstore. I'm sure you have second-hand bookstores in L.A. too, you know, where people sell their books. And there she got a copy of the Bhagavad Gita in wrinkled condition. It was so wrinkled that she had to iron it to even read it. She got it for 50 cents. So it must be really cheap. She got the Bhagavad Gita. It was in completely wrinkled condition. She took it home. She ironed it so she could read it. And then she started reading it. And as she started reading it, she discovered that the means to find peace is chanting the holy names of the Lord. So even before she knew that there was a temple in that city where she resided, she started chanting, just on the basis of reading that book. And as a result, she's become such a good devotee. So there's so many examples. I'm sure you've all heard about it so many times from other speakers. Mm-hmm. But the point is that we need to remind ourselves of the importance of preaching, especially of book distribution as a medium. Just like Krishna could have in one verse explained in the second chapter, you're not this body, period, your pure spirit soul. But Krishna, through a series of verses, goes on to expand and present from different angles that you're not this body, isn't it? If you read the Bhagavad Gita, you'll see that in so many locations, Krishna mentions Manmana Bhava, Mad Bhakta, Madhyaji, Man Namaskuru. Again, in the 18th chapter, when he summarizes the Gita, he again emphasizes this point. Now, Prabhupada discusses this principle of repetition in one of his purports in the Gita. And Prabhupada says, repetition is necessary to drive the point home. Just like in the material world, they also have this philosophy of repetition, isn't it? You see the same product Sony advertised everywhere. Billboard, TV, radio, newsprint, isn't it? Everyone knows there's a brand like Sony or Coca-Cola, but they still advertise that. Why? They run on the premise that if they remind you again and again, then you'll buy their product. Just once is not enough. So similarly, we need to be reminded on a regular basis about the essential elements of our philosophy. That's why we have this principle of attending the Bhagavatam class in the morning, attending the Gita class in the evening, because these classes, hearing, reminds us of the importance of pursuing spiritual life. Similarly, by hearing of the importance of preaching, book distribution, etc., again, we get inspired to stay on this spiritual path and engage in this very important activity. And what did Prabhupada tell us? He said, as long as book distribution goes on, I will never die. In other words, through the medium of these books, Prabhupada and the acharyas are preaching. So, one can engage in various services, and all these services are absolute. But for all the services, Prabhupada said preaching is the best. Therefore, he gave us this four-line mantra. What's that mantra? Preaching is the essence. So all the various types of services, the most essential services, the service of preaching. But preaching is based upon what? You can go out and talk to people all day on the streets, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's also good. But ultimately, when we talk about preaching, we mean inspiring people to get these books, read these books, buy these books. Because Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga, people's memory is so short, you tell them some philosophy, they'll forget it tomorrow. But you give them a book, they'll read it, and they'll get others to read it also. When you distribute a book, you should bear in mind that you're not just inspiring one person to read it. On an average, a book is read by 3 to 4 people. And in poor countries, even more. So when you give one book out, you're really creating an opportunity for many other people to read it, not just that one person. There was a devotee from Australia, and I asked him, how did he become a devotee? So he told me that 4 years ago, his mother had bought a book from one of the distributors and kept it in a library. And she never read it for 4 years. So then one day he lost his job, and he was depressed. So he went home, went to his mother's library and started reading different books. And none of them satisfied him till he landed himself with a copy of the Bhagavad Gita. Then he started reading the Bhagavad Gita that his mother had purchased when? 4 years ago, and it was never opened. Probably she must have been an aggressive salesman, and he must have inspired her to take the book. But she had the book in the library for 4 years. And finally, someone read it and took advantage of it and became a nice devotee. So the point is that if we have faith in the words of the predecessor acharyas, then we can succeed in this effort. Therefore, Prabhupada said, books are the basis. And then, what did he say? Utility is a principle and purity is a force. So purity comes from good sadhana. I was discussing different types of anarthas. One of the categories of anarthas is illusion about spiritual knowledge. And illusion about spiritual knowledge consists of different categories. One is illusion about the position of the Supreme Lord. Another is illusion about the position of the jiva, the living entity. The third is illusion about the process of sadhana bhakti. So being unaware about the importance of sadhana bhakti as a means to overcome the anarthas is also an anartha. And the fourth is being unaware about factors unfavorable for spiritual advancement. We are so fortunate that the scriptures and the sages have identified for us what's favorable and what's unfavorable. So being unaware of factors that are detrimental is also an anartha. So And we're so fortunate in our Krishna Conscious Movement. We have this wonderful opportunity, wonderful temples, association. And if we just take advantage of it, then we can come to the transcendental position, as Prabhupada says in the purport of this verse, that when one is fully absorbed in transcendental thought, then he fully surrenders to the Lord and engages in unalloyed devotional service. And as Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Krishna Bhakta Niskama Atayeva Shanta Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanta. So if you engage in devotional service with Niskam, selfless mood, then you can be peaceful. And on the other hand, if you engage with motives, Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kami, as Krishna's Kavara said, they're all lusty, they will never be peaceful. So to summarize, Sati is responding to the situation in which she saw that her father had been so offensive to Lord Shiva. And Sati is trying to point out to the medium of this verse that Lord Shiva is transcendental. He is above these so-called rules and regulations. Just because he didn't stand up when he came into the oblation fire, it's not an offense. Lord Shiva is in a very exalted transcendental position. And Daksha, due to his envious nature towards Lord Shiva, was unable to appreciate his exalted position. And Prabhupada, in the concluding lines of the purport, points out that one who is fully engaged in devotional service, he is actually in samadhi or real ecstasy. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatman Asochitinya Kankshati. So that should be our goal, regardless of which one or ashram we belong to, to engage fully in devotional service. Therefore, the process we follow is not just varnashram, but it is daiva varnashram. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, I've been a little bit of overtime. Okay. I took advantage of your hospitality. I want to thank the devotees here. Their very nice attitude. And I have to thank Savas. We had actually all come here for a meeting for the Mayapur project. And it's very encouraging to see that the book distribution tempo is very strong here. You have full-time warriors and weekend warriors, isn't it? That's nice. How many weekend warriors? Well, wonderful. This is one way to please Prabhupada. Any questions? I shouldn't take questions. It's too late now. Okay. Hare Krishna. Hi. Thank you.